Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for What's Up, starring Jack and Dick Watts, the dynamic duo of deplorables, who come to you no longer on Monday afternoons at 5:30, but Tuesday afternoon at 5:30. From now on, Richard, how are you today?
I'm fine, Jack. We've had a couple of real nice 50 to 60 degree weather up here in New England, and feels like spring.
Well, I can assure you it is. it isn't down here either, but we're about to start building an ark. Today was nice, or at least this afternoon, but it's been cold and wet. Just that nasty winter stuff that you have. And even though we've really had a pretty mild winter, I am ready for spring. Okay. All right, listen, we've got a lot to talk about today. Oh, my goodness. We've got this. Let's start with the Democrats. I want to start not with Bernie. But you know what? It's definitely looking more and more like he's the person to beat. I want to start for a minute with Joe Biden. He forgot what he was running for today. He thought he was running for the Senate instead of running for the president. And here's the thing, Dick. I can no longer kind of mock him for this and kind of, you know, do a little political thing. I think there's something wrong with the man, and but clearly he appears to not have cognitive grasp of what is going on, and for that I feel terribly sorry for him. You know,
well, he might have the beginning, the onslaught of Alzheimer's. You know, I mean, it starts with
some. Some kind of dementia.
It's sad.
But
yeah.
Yes, but on the other hand, if we can see it as casual observers, you know, maybe a little more than casual because we pay attention, but we're still observers. The people that are with him day to day have a responsibility to say, you can't do this.
Yeah,
this
home
is not right. Yeah. And but they're not. There's no no thought of the better good, the higher good, the good of all, the good of the nation, the good of the world.
What about his
you
good?
You cannot have. Yeah, you
what about
cannot
good
have
him? Yeah. You know, they're working for the man, and he has issues, huge issues, that they should say, you know, this just isn't right, period.
He's you know, they're drawing a check, but it's just not it's just not fair to him, not fair to us, not fair, you know, to anybody. It's just, you know, basically wrong.
But don't you think that these people should see the handwriting on the wall? I mean, obviously, you know, what are they? They're waiting for Super Tuesday to find out that he's going to be in third or fourth place and then say, Joe, it's time to hang it up. We need a couple
evidently
of three or four more paychecks type of thing.
Well,
No,
I wouldn't be through a form. It'd be one more because it's next Tuesday. I mean, 7 days from today. I mean, you've got South Carolina on Saturday. But I'm just going to make a prediction right this minute. I think that Bernie is going to eke him out and win in South Carolina on Saturday. And if that's the case, I, you know, with the momentum that four victories, essentially. They, you know, they took one away from him in Iowa, but everybody knows he did win. That he's going to win everything on Tuesday, and it's going to be very hard for the Democrats to stop him. But I think that they're going to try, and, you know, they're in bad trouble. You just can't cheat somebody twice. And they did the last time, and it's like, well, you know, Bernie said, okay, I'm okay with this. I'll support Hillary. But on the other side of it, you know, of course he got a house for it. You know, they bought him off, essentially paid him off. But I don't think they can do that this time. I don't think that there's anything that's going to do that. And, you know, Trump is out there saying they're cheating Bernie. And, you know, the thing is that we have seen how badly the deep state and which encompasses the Department of Justice and the FBI and all of the Obama holdovers and a bunch of things have gone out of their way, you know, to destroy the Trump presidency. And here we are one more time, you know, take it to the limit one more time. Pretty amazing to me, Dick. It really is. And, you know, I don't Bernie's views. But he does have, I mean, he believes this. He's passionate. And the people that are following him are very similar to us in that they really believe what they're doing. I mean, we believe that they're wrong. And that they're misguided and that they don't understand anything about, you know, an economy and how, you know, they talk about, you know, well, this will cost $60 trillion, which is, you know, 3 years of GDP. But if you destroy the economy, the $20 trillion a year GDP will go down to 17 or 16 in a couple of years, and when that happens, everything will collapse, and yeah. It'll be the United States of Venezuela.
Yeah.
And kids don't know it; they just don't understand.
Well, but you know, just think that Bernie is. When he stands up there and talks about his hero, Fidel Castro, and talking about Cuba, and, well, you know, he wanted to teach everybody how to read and write. Well, come to find out what really was he was indoctrinating these kids into, you know, his way of thinking. And if you didn't like the way he was talking or whatever, well, you would go to a concentration camp or just be put up in front of a firing squad. Yeah, and mm-hmm. Bernie is, you know, he's talking about this and, you know, with this glowness about him, but now even, you know, CNN and MSNBC are turning against Bernie, saying, well, because they all know that, and Bernie says, you know, all of these things say that I would beat Trump in an election. I mean, who or what in the hell are you listening to that you want to put 180 million people out of their health care? You think that they're actually going to vote for you? Come on. I mean, it doesn't make any sense because they continue at least he is to be living in his own little fantasy world about what he's going to do. And they were just saying now today, he's been in Congress for 30 or 40 years and he has never done anything. He's named a couple of post office, and that's it? That's all he's ever done? Oh, my glory. And you people want him to run this country. It just, but, you know, I was watching something today, though, where this guy was interviewing these, I'll call them millenniums, because it was at a beach, asking them who won the Civil War, and they had no idea. I sat there. I could not believe it. I couldn't believe it. This one woman said, America won, and walked away. The guy was like, yeah, I guess. Oh, my. But they had no idea. Absolutely no idea. And saying, you know, in 20 years from now, none of them will know what 9/11 was all about. It's very sad. It really is sad. But hopefully the 20-year-olds, when they turn 40 and need to have a job, will start figuring out, you know, what I believed in 20 years ago was horse manure.
Which is a good way to segue into our next topic when you're talking about 9/11, and that would be the mayor, Michael Bloomberg, who, when he, after 9/11, when he was mayor, wanted to allow the Muslims to have a mosque on ground zero for where the attack explained something to everybody, Dick. When Muslims have a battle that they win, they mark the spot by putting a mosque. It commemorates their military victory. So by putting a mosque, which this New York Jew, Bloomberg, who should know better, if any people should know better about what the Muslims do, it should be a Jew. But he supported it, putting a mosque at ground zero. To me, that is, of all of the things about him, I mean, you know, he, you know, all of these non-disclosures with women that, you know, that they, you know, I don't think he's Harvey Weinstein, but I do think that, you know, that there was a culture that was really probably pretty bad for women. But I don't consider that even in the same category.
Was he
honoring
the mayor
Muslims with a mosque at ground zero? Go ahead, say that. Go ahead, I interrupted you.
Was he actually the mayor at 9/11? I didn't think he was mayor at that point. But he's claiming he is.
No, Giuliani was mayor.
Bloomberg but claims that he was mayor
soon
there 9/11
after.
Happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he claimed.
Bloomberg was not.
They caught him in that lie. He said he was.
Well, he said he was mayor at 9/11?
Yeah. Yeah, he did. To me, it's on the same level as the Connecticut senator that said that he was in Vietnam and was never even in the service. Bloomberg.
Richard Leventhal, Blumenthal.
Blumenthal, yeah.
Blumenthal.
Yeah.
We got a lot of unique names in the tribe, so it's kind of hard to keep them all straight. Well, listen, Bloomberg, and here he is. He's been a Republican longer than Trump has. And now he's the hero of the Democrats, and he gave more money to Republican senators so they could hold the Senate in 2016, and now all of a sudden he's the savior of the Democrats. This is just I mean, he's really essentially a never Trumper Republican. That's what he is. Now, I will say that, you know, I don't think he won't screw up the economy the way Bernie would, thank God. But I don't see people voting for him. I mean, he is not a likable person. He has no personality. And all these ads that he's doing, he's talking about, well, you know, when Trump was in construction, you know, he didn't pay the subcontractors and ended up going into, you know, he's not all that rich. I'm rich, but he isn't, you know, that rich. And it's like, where that might have been relevant in 2016, it's not relevant now. What's relevant is, what has Trump done with the economy, done with the military? What has Trump done with, appointments to the courts, including the Supreme Court?
Judicial.
Judicial, yes. But what has he done with the energy industry? How has he, you know, what has his foreign policy been? Has he gotten us into wars, or is he getting us out of wars? Those are all fair questions. And he has a record, and he's running on that record. You know, the last couple of days have been really bad for the market because of the, you know, coronavirus. Really bad. But, you know, they will rebound, once this is taken care of. But, you know, who knows how long that's going to be. This is a, you know, and here we've got Chuck Schumer, you know, politicizing this. I mean, this is potentially a worldwide catastrophe, and that's, you know, horrible excuse for a human being is standing up in the Senate, you know, saying Trump isn't doing enough. And I mean, the thing's just
he doesn't have a plan. He doesn't have a plan, he says, and Trump already has the money going. And there's a couple of companies that are working on a cure. So, and Trump doesn't have a plan. Unbelievable.
Well,
whenever they get the kids, you know, they stretching the truth is the Democrats' way of life anymore. Actually, it's more like lying, just flat out lie about it. You know. See if we get caught.
Listen, Craig, here for a minute now. You saw the news thing where he counseled this 9-year-old boy to come out as being gay. Dick. 9-year-olds think about playing baseball or riding their bike or, you know, going swimming. They don't think about girls or boys. They're not sexualized. They haven't hit puberty yet. This is reprehensible. It's wrong to sexualize a 9-year-old boy or girl.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, 12, 13. All of a sudden, I mean, when we were 9 years old, you know, ride the bike to the park, play baseball, get in fight with your friends and stuff and over this, that, and the other, throw rocks, throw snowballs, have snowball fights, mow the yard, you know, not make your bed and have your mom yell at you, be late for, you know, not wanting to get out of bed in the morning to go to school. That's what a 9-year-old's life is. It doesn't have anything to do with girls or boys.
Your sexuality would be, do you want a girl dog or a boy dog? That's as much as you would have at 9 years old.
Yeah, well, and actually when it comes to dogs, I don't think that there's much difference between, you know, but
yeah.
I could be wrong about that. But listen, here's the other thing. You know, Buttigieg has done pretty well in South Carolina. He will not get 10% of the vote. He'll be in single digits because in South Carolina, standing there, making out with your husband when you're a man on stage, making out doesn't cut it.
No.
It doesn't cut it in Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Florida, North Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Texas, nothing in the South. And guess what? Nothing in the Midwest either, or very little, maybe Illinois. But this is just, he's done. He is going nowhere. Now, from what I understand, we'll see tonight. Pocahontas throw her support with him, and if she does and wants to be his VP, as old as he is, this would be a smart move on her part because she's going nowhere. Then the whole progressive part of the Democratic Party, which is huge, I think, and with the wind at their backs, can thwart Bloomberg and any. I mean, Biden's going nowhere, and Klobuchar. Yeah. What, you know, she's just a woman whose mouth is oversized. You know, she's an adequate senator. I'll give her that. From Minnesota, she's not going to do anything.
Uh-huh.
Bernie, if I were Bernie, I mean, you remember after the debate a couple of weeks ago when Pocahontas came up and said, "I think you've called me a liar on national TV," and then he made her repeat it because he didn't quite hear her. She did it all on an open mic, and then he said, "Well, you actually, called me a liar." He said, "Let's not do this here." And so they've got some real conflicts between them. But so what? I mean, Trump had conflicts, and the worst conflicts were with Ted Cruz, and he and Ted Cruz are as tight as they come now. And Lindsey Graham, he didn't like Lindsey, and now they're like the best friends. And it's because they're united with purpose. I think Elizabeth Warren she should just go after Bloomberg like she did before with a vengeance. But, be very supportive of Bernie and then drop out of the race right after Saturday or maybe even before and just say, I'm supporting Bernie. If she does that, and, it's going to be very hard for the Democrats. Now, we're really taking our time's really dwindling here. But I do want to say that, could President Trump have been any more presidential on this trip? Behavior, everything was magnificent. And Melania, what an elegant and classy first lady. And, the outfits that she wore and everything. I mean, this should be the envy of the world. And yet, we say things about it on our show and on Facebook and stuff, but you don't see any recognition of this. And I think that it's not only wrong, but it's very sad. It's robbing the American people of some legitimate pride and joy. It absolutely is. Did you see that, that when Trump went to get on the plane, the Prime Minister of India gave him a big hug.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, I mean, genuinely grateful to Trump. Filling a stadium of 125,000, I don't believe we have a stadium in the United States that holds 125,000 people, do we?
No. No.
I think, you know, there might be something that's like 103 or something like that. And this is for cricket.
Yeah.
Which I'd be willing to bet that not one American in 100 knows how to play cricket. And only the ones that would be from a, you know, a British Empire or Commonwealth country would know anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
125,000 people come to see cricket. I don't get it. But, you know,
they don't understand about how the people, all of us go to or watch football games. I mean, our football, not their football.
Mm-hmm.
We call it soccer. They call it football. But our football is, well, you know, people can get hurt playing that game. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Pretty amazing. Absolutely pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So Trump did a great job. Now, this coronavirus, this is – they don't know anything about it. I mean, this is potentially catastrophic. But on the other hand, it's not Ebola. You know, the mortality rate for Ebola is like almost 100%. The mortality rate for coronavirus is, you know, 1 or 2%. So, you know, it affects old people for sure, but and kills them, but not many others. And yet, who knows? Who knows anything about this yet? I honestly wish that they had stopped travel to, you know, to China a week earlier. But, you know, it's hard to know what to do about any of this stuff. It, you know,
how much did the Chinese lie about how bad it was right up till, you know, they couldn't lie about it anymore because people were just dropping dead left and right in that one area.
Well, and I think if the truth about what actually happened in China got out, it would be catastrophic because they have lied about the whole thing. And, you know, I would not be surprised if, you know, if the death toll were 100,000. Instead of, you know, 1,500, it would not be. But if that is true, and if that came out at this point, that would just absolutely create panic worldwide. So, I mean, we don't know. So we're not going to be irresponsible and suggest that anything's true that we don't know. On the other hand, you know,
it's scaring the hell out of the stock market, though.
Yes, it is. And that is not good. That is definitely not good. All right, well, listen, we got half a minute. What anything else on your mind?
No, I don't know. I feel I just don't understand how someone like Bernie Sanders, who, for all intent and purposes, is a socialistic communist, and this country is listening to him, or a lot of these younger kids, you know, they had one, the guy said, you know, give me, you can give me everything you have that's free, except your job. I don't want your job because I don't want to work. And that seems to be
I get that. Listen, we're out of time, so let me just say God bless you and God bless the United States of America. Bye-bye.